Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Welcome to this edition of your half-hour inspirational program. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 30 minutes. Thank you so very much for joining us tonight. We've got a very good show for you. I want to start out by a note of gratitude to God, our Heavenly Father, who without Him nothing is possible. Tonight, I want to share with you part three of a 10-part series that we're doing. And tonight's topic is guaranteed success based on the Word of God, based on the promises of God. And tonight I have before me 20 scriptures, and they're all from the book of Proverbs, where it gives scriptures for promises based on the Word of God. Now, the story is recently told about a man who made a promise to his kids for Christmas that he was going to stop drinking. Well, the man did everything within his power to really try and stop drinking because it was bringing a lot of confusion and problems to his home life, to his family life. And so the wife had been praying for him to stop drinking. The children were also praying for their father to stop drinking because they loved him very much. And so he said, you know what? It was around November, Thanksgiving time now, and he said, since you all want me to stop drinking, I'm going to stop drinking because it was starting to affect his behavior at home and the way that he operated. And the children did not like to see their father like that. Well, anyway, the man made a few attempts to stop drinking, but in the end, Christmas came and passed, and he did not keep his word. When the children asked him, the three-year-old asked him, Daddy, I thought you were going to stop drinking. He said, well, son, you know what? I can't help myself. I did the best that I could. And I'm sorry. You see, we have another father. We have a heavenly father. That when he makes you a promise, he doesn't have to apologize to you because he does keep his word. And if he says that he's going to do something, you can be assured that he's going to do that very thing. And tonight, those of you all out there that have been struggling with no matter what your situation is, no matter what your circumstance, God is able to deliver you from those situations or the circumstances. You know, there's a story about a couple that had been going through some marital storms. The couple had been married for less than 2 years, and for whatever reason, they could not understand why they're constantly going back and forth with various arguments. Well, the couple had sought God in their relationship prior to getting married, and they had exercise this walk of faith. They exercise a walk of faith in God. And prior to him getting married to her, he had petitioned God and said, God, please don't let this be a mistake. Don't let it be a mistake. And she was doing the same thing in her private time, in her private life, of praying to God even without him, asking God the same thing. And they were asking God for signs that, God, if this is not the person, remember now, they had been married for less than 2 years, about a year and a half. If this is not the person that you do not want me to get married to, if this is not the man, then God, cause it not to happen. You see, God can close a door that no man can open. And God can open a door that no man can close. And you see, this couple had faith. They were praying desperately because they did not want to make a mistake. Especially with something like marriage, you cannot play with marriage. So, but for whatever reason, in their less than 2 years of marriage, they kept going through these challenges. And then it dawned on them one day to sit down and have a talk about it. You see, the initial stages, the first year was really a piece of cake, the honeymoon period. But then, shortly afterwards, they started having these challenges from day in and day out. And then it dawned on them to sit down and talk about it, to find the origin of what was going on. And they did just that. And they spoke about, they invited God into the presence of their discussion. And it was then that it was revealed to both of them. It was revealed, the revelation came, that they were being tested by the enemy. You see, the enemy does not want marriage to survive. And so God had put it into their hearts that they were being tested. And if you, the easy thing to do is to give up, to surrender, to throw in the towel, as they say in boxing, and to give up and say, I quit. That's the easy route to take. But God was faithful to this couple because he showed them no signs of why they shouldn't come together. And the couple began to realize that because as the man asked the woman, I know you were praying, and in your prayers and in your fasting and in your supplication, was there ever a time that God sent a message to you to say, don't do it with this guy? And then he presented the same thing to her. He said, never was there one time that God sent a message to me that I should not do this, that I should not get married to you. And she said the same thing. She never received a sign to go contrary. And so for individuals like that, that couple that petitioned God first before they went on to get married, and they received no warning that this is not to do to each other, to say I do to each other. They went ahead. And when they began to realize that it was a test of the enemy to try to break them up, but they decided to become stronger and weather the storm. And they felt that if we could weather this storm now, if we can weather this storm now, and we realize that it is a test, and the test is, can we be committed to each other even when we're not liking each other? Can we still love each other even when we're not feeling like we want to be together with each other sometimes? That human factor starts to kick in. And that couple reaffirmed their vows and their commitment to each other. And it was from that point on that they gained strength. And they knew that God had their backs. And so, you know what? He said that if you call his name, the enemy will flee from you. So that couple, as they invited God into their life, invited God into their marriage, the enemy had to leave them alone and go find another couple to try to mess with. Because, see, their foundation was secure. And, see, God is the God of the institution of marriage. Now, not every marriage is of God, but the institution of marriage is of God. And you see, when God makes you a promise, when God, his promise was to this couple, that since you surrendered your will to be my will, I'm going to give you the best person for you. And you see, all you've got to do is weather that storm. Take, for example, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God created the woman for the man. But did everything work out perfectly? No, absolutely not. So does that mean that God didn't put them together? Absolutely not. He did, in fact, put them together. But because of their freedom, free will, and the choices that they made, it's got the rest of us in the dilemma that we're facing. But you know what? God in his faithfulness still demonstrated love to Adam and Eve. And I am so grateful for that. And you see, Adam and Eve, despite everything else that went on, and I know that many of you all will not agree with me when I say this part, they still hung in there together with each other and weathered their storm. Well, you might say in the part that you might disagree on is, well, there were no other people, so they only had each other. Well, that may be the case, of course. But once Adam said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, that's what it is. It is what it is, as they say. And I'm telling you, when God gives you something, be grateful for it. Because just like with that, if you want guaranteed success, and tonight we're talking about guaranteed success based on the promises of God, I would say to my listening audience this evening, no matter what your circumstances is, it might be with your spouse, it might be a relationship with someone, I say go to God's word. Find, you might be discouraged this evening, find one of God's promises. You see, I believe that there's a couple of things that move God. And I ask this question, what moves God and what pleases God? It's a two-part question in one. What moves God and what pleases God? And I've come through to the understanding, and you all may find something else out there differently, but I've come to the understanding that what moves God is God moves on his own word, and he moves in his own time. And see, what pleases God is your walk by faith. You see, the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what moves God? God moves on his own word. If he says, I'm going to do something, he says, let there be light. And then the power of his spoken word caused light to manifest. And so when God sends you a promise, if you're discouraged, you find a scripture out there that talks about discouraged, being discouraged, and you put that word back to God. Put it back to him. Father, you said you would never leave or forsake me. I'm feeling discouraged now, but God, I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to trust in you. And then give it to him and thank him for being with you. Show gratitude. Show that you are grateful for the situation, because that could be your storm of what you're having to deal with, just like with that married couple. And I want to take you on and give you some of these 20 scriptures that I have. And they all come from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 1:32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Now, I've got these scriptures here. Those of you all that are having some financial difficulties in these hard economic times, I say to you, here are some scriptures that hopefully can bring some comfort to you, and you can be rest assured that if you walk by faith, that's the important part. Excuse me. That's the part that pleases God. That Proverbs 1:32, read that one. Proverbs 2:6-7 is another one. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. See, God can give you the wisdom that you need. You may be out there going after a job that God doesn't think would be in your best interest. Ask God to order your steps. You know, you might feel that you can't pay your light bill or your water bill, or that you don't have enough food to take care of you and your family. Well, ask God for his wisdom, because he will give it to you. There's another one, Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, I'm often reminded of the story about the prophet that went to the home of this lady that had a son, and the lady only had a meal just enough for her and her son. And this prophet came, and the prophet asked her for something to eat. And she told him, well, she only has enough for her and her son. And he says, well, feed me first, and then your barrel shall be overflowing. Well, the lady walked by faith to feed the man of God. She walked by faith to feed the man of God first. And when he was finished, she went to look at her barrel, and it was overflowing. And you see, I tell you, that walk by faith is a great thing. If you're sitting there and you're thinking that you can't pay your bills, you don't have enough food, I say to you, get up, go to the store, and head it in that direction. You just may run into someone, that says, hey, I've been looking for you for 5 years. Here's some money I owed you. There's $50 right here. But you got to walk by faith. And I'm telling you stuff that I'm not just, that I've read about or that I've heard countless stories on. I'm telling you things that I've even experienced in my own personal life. And I'm telling you, if you, that walk by faith is everything. Without it, it's impossible to please God. Some more of the scriptures are, and I won't take the time to read all of them, but I encourage you all, if you are looking for success, no matter what it is, you might have a business start up. Then you know what? Partnership with God. Partnership with him. And say, God, listen, I need you to be my partner in this business. I need you to really help me build this business. Petition him. Go after everything that you possibly can, you know, to put it to him. You know, if you got to pay a little extra money with an investment with God, give it to their church. Sometimes you got to give away what you want to receive back. If you want money and you only have a small amount, give that away. Give it away. Give it away without harboring it, without trying to hold on to it. And then open up your heart, open up your mind to being receptive, because your blessings will come. Bless somebody else. Bless somebody else. Take time out to stop thinking about your own personal needs. Don't just think about your own personal needs and what you're liking or not having or don't have enough for, but instead, take time out and see how you can be a blessing to somebody else. And is in being a blessing to someone else, your blessings will overflow. Just like that lady that fed the prophet first, after feeding him, her blessings were overflowed. Her blessings were overflowing. And I encourage you to do the same thing. If you want God to move in your life, find one of his promises and put that back to him. Put his word back to him. The story is told also about a teacher that would test her students. And she would often say to those students, you know, if this class is talking, I'm going to place the whole class under punishment. I'm going to place the entire class under punishment. But there's a key factor that I want you all to remember. She says, if one of you all, and then she says, that's not my style of placing the whole class under punishment. But I will instead not place the whole class under punishment, but I will place the individuals that are making the noise or being out of control in the class on punishment, because it's not fair to punish everybody when everybody may not have gotten out of control or talking. She says, but the key is somebody must put their word back to me. You must put my word back to me and say, Miss Jones, you said that you would not punish the whole class for the mistakes or the problems that one or two or some of the students are having, but you would seek out those that are causing the problem and put them on punishment. And she says, somebody has to raise their hand and put my word back to me. If you don't put my word back to me as I have presented it, then I'm going to punish this whole class. That is not my style, she says, because it's not fair. But somebody has to put my word back to me. And so oftentimes, Miss Jones would deliberately just stand outside the classroom to see if they would be, if they would misbehave. Sure enough, there was always somebody trying her or failing, destined to fail the test. And so when one person starts, somebody else could start. And before you know it, you have chaos in the room, especially when the teacher is not within visibility. But Ms. Jones would walk back into the room after testing them just to see for a moment who got out of control. And Ms. Jones would then quickly raise her voice and say, that's it. This whole class is placed under punishment. You all are going to be given extra homework, or she would impose some type of penalty for the class. Then it never failed. Somebody would always, always remember. And then you'd see a little hand go up, even though Miss Jones' wrath was out there. And it was simply a test from Miss Jones. And some hand would be raised. And she'd call on the kid, what is it now? In a rather hostile voice she would send out there, knowing that she's only testing them just to see if they would put her word back to her. Lo and behold, some little faithful person would say to Miss Jones, but Miss Jones, with their hand up, when she called on, Miss Jones, you said that you would not punish the class for only one or two students that are misbehaving. You said that, Miss Jones. Miss Jones, being a woman of her word, said, you know what? You're right. I will not punish this whole class because a few students misbehaved. And she would thank that child for reminding her. And it was simply a test to see who was listening in the classroom to Miss Jones' words. And just as Miss Jones, God sends tests our way. And the question becomes, will you pass the test? If you don't, you got to repeat it. Maybe in a different arena, but you're going to pass the test. You know, and you have the free choice. And God, to pass his test, you can put his word back to him and say, God, Father, you said that you would never leave me or forsake me. Father, you said that you, in Malachi 3:8, that you would rebuke the devourer for my sake. Father, you said, so you put all of this back to God. And you watch how God brings his blessings. And just as the question in the Bible, Malachi 3:8, asks the question, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithe and offering. And God tells you, he says in verse 9, he says, you're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And then he says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. He says, test me. Test me. God is telling you, test me. He says, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You see, he said, test me. But see, first, there's a condition to these things. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. He's asking you to give, and his tithe is talking about 10% and an offering. And he's saying, test me. And then this is what God says he will do. Now, this is his word that you put back to him. He says in verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. That means he will keep from happening. Anyone who tries to come and destroy what you have, the enemy, he will do it for your sake because you were faithful to him. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And then he goes on to say in verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And so when you begin to put that out in Malachi, Malachi 3, 8 through 12, and that's what God will do for you. And you put it back to him. God, you said that you will rebuke the devourer for my sake. God, I've been faithful. I've been faithful. And then you have an expectation, and God will cause that thing to manifest. And so the other part about this is, if you want guaranteed success based on God, then what you've got to do, you have got to stop doubting. Do not have any reservations when it comes to God's word. Do not have any doubt, a shadow of a doubt. Do not even have that. And I can assure you, and I can guarantee you, that you will have success based on the promises of God. Just simply put his word back to him. Father, you said, and do your part. Walk by faith, and if it means going to look for that job, going to make something happen, then as you're walking, as you're in the motion, God will deliver for you. If this show has been a blessing to you, pick up the phone, call somebody else, let them know that this show has been a blessing to you. And we hope that you'll join us next Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.